Hi, this is Dan Korber, pastor here at Dalton Hill Baptist Church. We're a small Baptist church located in Owosso, Oklahoma. We're small enough to know you, but we're big enough to serve you and for you to serve as well. Our vision is to rescue, restore, and return to service. Rescue a non-believer or a believer who has been hurt or is lost. Restoring them to Christ in fellowship with other believers with the desire that they in turn will help others along their way.
It's a good song to remember, obviously written by Bill and Gloria Gaither. If you know the second stanza, is the reason why the song was written. His son was born and was facing uncertain times, wanting to know, because he lives, I can raise him. And I think that's very true for us with all the grandkids and everything else today in the society in which we live. Because of him, we can face it. It meant a lot to me when I was in college, because I was... only someone gave me a record player, and I only had one record, and that was the one I had. And I was having to type a paper freshman year, and yet you weren't allowed to use erasable bond, and you couldn't have three spelling mistakes in the entire paper. So typing it, and you had to do Travian, which means you had to do the footnotes at the bottom, and if you ran out of room, you started it all over again. I started that thing over 17 times and kept singing that song, "Because He Lives, I Can Do This." So, kind of interesting. We've been going through the signs of life, if you remember, and we had different ones. We had one that of your aptitude and your attitude, as well as your actions, will change when a believer has come to know Christ. Also, if you remember, you will turn on the lights and you'll keep connected. Obviously, it's so important to realize that we have to stay connected to Him and have the light shining, or else it's going to go out. Also, if you remember, we looked at, talked about passing the salt. We are told to be salt and light of the world, and we need the salt to preserve, to flavor, to do other things. We also remember we have fingerprints and footprints, and wherever we go, people can tell where we're going, and I think it's important to we have our fingerprints on it, and are we doing what God wants us to do? We also, if you remember, we then also talked about it being selected for the draft. God chose us. There's a reason for us. And then a couple of weeks ago, we did the CSI, the Christian Scene Investigation. When people come and investigate us, are they really going to see that we're a Christian? And it's just interesting when you see somebody, develop and do different things. If you remember, I talked about John last week and just the book and different things he had. He's been wanting to get on at the refinery, and he just got hired. So he's really excited how the Lord worked that out for him. Let me give you one today that's called, Heavenly Frequency. And maybe some of you were alive to remember this. How many of you ever remember a guy by the name of John McVane? In 1942, worked for NBC during the World War II, and he would go to the battlefields, and he would then give the reports live from the battlefield. One November day in 1942, he was in North Africa, and he was told to prepare the Army Hour broadcast from Algiers the following Sunday. So he was a tremendous undertaking. He had to interview leaders, obtain messages from chief commanders, write scripts, have them approved, of course, through the war censorship. And he also had to have music, so he had to find GIs who could play music, and he practiced, so he got all of them together, and they got instruments, and they were all preparing. Finally, the night the broadcast comes, and there's 50 of them assembled in this makeshift deal. Precisely at 8:30, the orchestra began to play, and McVane leans in the microphone and made this statement. "This is Algiers, heart of North Africa." During the interview, he interviewed soldiers and pilots, both from the RAF and the U.S., talk about the great different things, dramatic stories, and ends with the American anthem. It's a great program. Everybody was ecstatic. They just gave a riveting account of the war front, and it had been heard by 40 million people back home. Several days later, McVane got a telegram asking what happened. Nobody heard it. Apparently went out of the wrong frequency. But how many of us can miss something because we're on the wrong frequency? So I want to think about that frequency. What frequency are we on? And let's think about that for a moment, just the frequency that you have. And look over in Isaiah 55. We'll look at different passages. I think it's important for us to recognize it. In fact, they even write books out, you know, that men and women are on different frequencies. You know, I've probably seen some of those books. Some of you would probably agree with that. Notice in Isaiah 55, you'll notice the difference in talking about the heavenly frequency. Notice in verse 8 and 9, makes the statement we can all pretty much quote it, but for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord, for as the heavens are of higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So how many of us get a little, you think about that. Why do we have trouble? Because his thoughts are totally different than ours. Different frequencies. And so it takes a lot of us to realize that the heavenly frequency, we're going to have some help. You notice, I think it's two. One is not only is it different, but notice the destiny. Notice in verse 11 and 12. So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God's frequency, is it going to accomplish what he wants it to do? Yes. We may not understand it, we may not be on it, but God's word will always come true. So I think it's important to recognize it's different, but it's also the destiny. So notice, that I think also then, if you turn to 1 Corinthians 2, you'll also see that it's difficulty. 1 Corinthians chapter 2,
I'm back.
Okay, we waited for you. First Corinthians chapter 2, notice in verse 14, the difficulty. But a natural man, in other words, a non-believer, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that it should be instruct him? Notice, but we, an emphatic we, have the mind of Christ. And so I think it's important, it's difficult, because God's ways are different than ours. But God's Spirit is in us, and we can. The difficulty we have is we are going back and forth between listening to the Spirit and listening to our own human logic. And I think we have to realize, I think it's also interesting, since you're in chapter 2, so we've seen that there's a difference. God's thoughts are different than ours. God's word is destiny will always be accomplished. It's difficult because his words are not understood apart from the Holy Spirit. But notice the distinction too, I think, in verse 4 and 5 of chapter 2. But my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, and that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, the power of God. The difference, notice it's very plain, God writes, so that we can understand it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's whoever is the greatest orator. And that's what happens so often today. A great orator comes and people believe that and tell them what the next orator comes. And that's what was happening in Greece and so on. I mean, they were met on the Mars Hill. Whoever was the greatest orator at the time, and they'd get them to go this way and go that way. But I think it's interesting that so on the heavenly frequency, there's a difference, obviously. The destiny is going to still be accomplished. It's difficult for us to understand at times. Give you an example. You think about what was the very first battle that, the very first city the Israelites went to conquer? Jericho? That makes a lot of sense to go march around and go home. If that's the very first time you're leading people out in battle, how many of you want to do that? Go around, go home. Go around, go home. 6 different days. What do you think is happening to the people about that time? And then on the 7th day, we're going around how many times? Okay, different frequency, because the same thing is true for us. we have to realize God's going to ask us to do things at times. That's why we're told, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But notice, I think it's a good way, if you want to know the heavenly frequency, way of just being shown, it's being displayed, is that of Christ. Christ was here on this earth, obviously walking as a man, but He was He, the heavenly frequency with the Father. So let's just look at it. We've seen it before, about 3 months ago, when we looked at the prayer life of Jesus in the book of Luke, so we'll just look at it briefly. Look over in Luke chapter 11. We'll be in Luke for several different references, some different points. But Luke chapter 11, so the difference, destiny, difficulty, distinction, then displayed by Christ and how to walk in the heavenly frequency. Chapter 11, notice in verse 1, it's an interesting statement. It came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." It's the only place that we have in recorded scripture where his disciples asked Jesus to teach them something. Why would they ask Jesus to teach them to pray? You know? Obviously, you notice he's praying and think it's important. He prays privately, but he's also praying in front of them. Let's look at some of those things. If you go down to verse 2, then he starts. When you pray, say, "Father, hallowed be thy name." I think one of the things, some of us are praying to our Heavenly Father, as we're told to do. In the book of John, what's the theme of the book of John? You all remember? You have four Gospels, four themes. What's the theme of John? John 20, 30, and 31, but presents Christ as the Son of Man, or Son of God, excuse me. 110 times in the book of John, Jesus refers to God the Father as His Father. 110 times. That's an average of 5 times a chapter. You and I have a relationship with our Father, but how many of us are keeping in touch with our Father? You know, that's why I think it's interesting when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," and they what? They follow me. How many of us don't know His voice because we're not listening? It's amazing, you get around anyone with been around sheep and sheep herders, and you get a lot of different ones together. When the different leader herdsmen start calling their sheep, what do their sheep do? They start following. They'll split out on their own. How many of us can hear our Father when He's calling us? Besides that, look over in chapter 3 for a moment. Okay, so we need to pray to the Father. Chapter 3, you have that's with the baptism. And after He comes up out of the water, you'll notice in verse 11, verse 21, chapter 3 and verse 21. "Now it came about that when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while He was praying, heaven opened up. And the Holy Spirit descended on Him as bodily form like a dove, and the voice came down out of heaven, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in Thee I am well pleased.'" I think it's interesting, everything's going well. In the middle of a baptism coming out, you notice you see Him praying. When things go well, how many of us are praying? Seriously. So, you ever wonder why maybe God puts us in difficult times? Because the only time we talk to Him is when we have trouble. He desires to have the communication. What about chapter 5? So you find Heavenly Father when all's going well in chapter 5 and verse 16. A very simple verse. Things... "But He Himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray." Notice it's a habit. He goes off to a secret place to pray. Be alone. Do you think any of us are ever as busy as Christ was? I mean, He couldn't, wherever He was, people were finding it constantly. He gets in a boat on the other side, they're waiting on. Wherever He goes, there's people waiting on. So nobody is as busy as Christ was, but He found time to be alone. A habitual That's also why, how did Judas know where to find you? Because it was a habit and Judas knew where to go. Same in Daniel chapter 6. How do they know where to find Daniel three times a day? If it was you and I, how many of us would have changed our habits? It shows great character on the part of John. Excuse me, on the part of Daniel. Over to chapter 6. In secret, habit, things are going well to the Heavenly Father. Notice in verse 10, you notice that Jesus heals on the Sabbath and they get very upset. In verse 10, after looking around, he said, "Stretch out your hand," as a 6:10. He did so and his hand was restored. They themselves, talking about the religious leaders, were filled with rage, discussed together what they might do to Jesus. It's the first time you find a major conflict in the book of Luke. Notice then, what does he do? After a major conflict, what does he do? It's at this time he went out to a mountain to pray and spent the whole night there. If you're at a mountain at night, would you say that was a nice lonely place, a quiet place to be? He didn't have electricity. Never forget when I mentioned that in India almost 25, 30 years ago, a guy started laughing. He goes, "I live on a mountain." So, okay, a little different. Notice what he does then afterwards. So he prays after a major conflict. He prays all night. He prays to the Father. In verse 13, when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12. He prays after a major conflict. He prays before a major decision. How many of us need to be on the heavenly frequency on both of those? Major conflict comes, what we usually do, we get on the phone, but we're not talking to the Lord, we're talking to what? We're calling everybody else and trying to, you know, get them involved or whatever, rather than turn it to the Lord. Interesting, I think you find others, you go to chapter 22, there's more in between, but we'll just go to chapter 22. This is right when he's about to be arrested, he's in the garden. And he knows he's about to be arrested. And notice in verse 31 of chapter 22 of Luke. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Interesting, he's praying for others. When things are really tough and it's really you're about to face the most trying time of your life, of anybody's life, how many of us are praying for others? And how many of us are praying for ourselves? He even tells them twice or three times that they need to pray for themselves in temptation. Most of us would have been saying what? Pray for me. So notice you need to be praying for others. But it's not wrong to pray for yourself. You notice he says to pray for themselves in 40, but notice 41, he kneels down to pray, and then notice in 42, "Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me, but yet not my will, but thine be done." He has a prayer of submission. When we have the heavenly frequency, how many of us are telling God what he's going to do? This is the problem. God, this is the solution, and this is what I want you to do. This is what I think you should do, and this is what I expect you to do, or whatever words you want to use. I think we do that a lot. And when it happens, when he says no or he does something else. I think also it's pretty much understood, but in 1 Thessalonians 5, you don't have to turn there, but remember it says, pray without what?
Ceasing.
Would you agree that Jesus prayed without ceasing? So how many of us are doing it? So I think it's interesting on the heavenly frequency was displayed by Christ. He prayed to the Father, he prayed when things are going well, he prayed when things are having trouble, he prayed before major decisions, he prayed in secret, he prayed in front of his disciples, he taught them, he prayed for others, he prayed for himself, he prayed submissively to God's will. So I think if we want to be on that heavenly frequency, we have to do the same. So you can ask yourself, you know, on this part of it, if others were to follow me like Jesus' disciples, how much of the time were his disciples with him? Okay, so if somebody was with us every day we went, how would they describe our prayer life or our life?
Very
It's a good question. You think about it. They were with Jesus. And notice, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. I mean, it's so important in your life. We want it. And I think if we want to have that type of influence, people have to be with us, but we have to be willing to teach and so on. And I think some of the greatest teaching moments you'll have is when you're not even expecting it. When things come up and you don't talk. Let's look at another one. What about, you stop and think about being displayed, and we don't, what about discoveries? When you're on the heavenly frequency, can you come up with different discoveries? Example is that of Joseph. We read it earlier in chapter 50 and verse 20. He was sold into slavery, and during all that time, do you think he was wondering what God was doing in his life? But over time, he makes the statement at the end, you meant it for evil, but God what?
Meant it for good.
And because he was able to save a nation. Most of us get very, very wrapped up in our own individual life, and we're simply an instrument that God can use if we allow him to. So I think it's interesting, God's purpose. Same thing happens in the book of Esther. What did Mordecai say to Esther? This is perhaps the very reason why you were born, why you're here. And if you don't do it, what's going to happen?
Someone else will.
Somebody else will. God will get somebody else. And I think it's important for us to realize, one, his purpose. Discoveries, when we're on the heavenly frequency. By the way, isn't that what happened with Moses? He's out taking care of sheep in the burning bush. What happens with Gideon? Wine press. God says, you lead my people. Book of Judges, almost every one of the judges, God comes and then the Spirit moves them, gives them the power to do it. So you have a purpose, I think, on the discovery. What about grace? Any of you ever had God tell you no? 2 Corinthians 12, what does Paul say? I asked him to thorn to be taken away. God says, no, my grace is sufficient. So I think it's hard sometimes when God says no. But he has a reason for it. Sometimes we understand, sometimes we don't. But that's when we have to trust him for it. In Philippians, you think about it, in chapter 4. Let's turn over to Philippians 4. We'll look at a couple. You all know them well. In fact, you can quote them, I'm sure. It's a book that I greatly enjoy reading. In fact, I've ordered another book to give out to someone. Called The 4-8 Principle. If you haven't read it, it's a good book. Anyway, I'll get it again this week. But it's based on Philippians 4-8. But I want you to look at two discoveries when we're on the heavenly frequency. Notice in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Any of us have trouble with that? In how many things?
Everything.
In everything, by prayer, supplication, with what?
Thanksgiving.
I almost have trouble with the Thanksgiving part. Seriously. But it's interesting, when did Paul write this?
He's in prison.
He's in prison. Let your requests be made known to God, so we should be getting on that heavenly frequency. There's always something to be thankful for. Make the supplications. And then notice in verse 7, it tells you what? What's one discovery when you're on the heavenly frequency? The peace of God, notice how it's described, which surpasses what?
Comprehension.
How in the world can you have peace in that circumstance? How many of us are wanting peace? Then you're going to have to turn it over to Him and let it and leave it there. Most of us, we pray, give it to him, and he has it for how long? Just till we say amen, right? Seriously. And then we take it back again. And then we tell him how he's supposed to solve it and all the rest of that. But if we stay on the heavenly frequency, we can have peace, and people will not understand that peace. But they will want that peace, that joy, and so on. That's why in Acts 16, why the Philippian jailer? You guys are different. I want what you have. What about in chapter, since you're in chapter 4, what about in verse 11? Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. How many of you have learned to be content no matter what's going on? Thus Paul said, I have learned. It wasn't always true. How could you be content where Paul is right now? But because he was in prison so many times, we have so many books of the New Testament written. If he was out, he would be doing what? He'd be witnessing, leading people to Christ, doing other things. But how many of us personally are so thankful that he was in prison? Because look at what is taking place as a result. How many hymns we've looked at, and we see the backgrounds, and we're so thankful for some of the great hymns we sing, but look at what bore them to write those songs. They're on a frequency, and we are then so thankful for it, for what they've done. So you think about it, the discoveries that you have. You can also have, when you're on heavenly frequency, you can have different directions. What happens in Acts 13? They're in the middle of the prayer time, and what happens? He says, set apart from you Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have for them. If we're not on the heavenly frequency, Paul and Barnabas may not have made that missionary trip. Others may not have recognized. In Acts 16, what happens when they tried to go into Asia Minor and it said they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit, they then pray and God then lays them on the Macedonian call, and they go to Greece. That wasn't their plan. How many of you like it when God changes your plans? Has God ever changed any of your all's plans? How many of you are on plan E right now? Started off this one, then you go to this one, and then you go to this one. A lot of different plans. And I think it's important for us to recognize we can be in a lot of them. So I think, what's God revealing to you now? Is there something He wants you to do? And we can say we're too old. Moses was quite old when he started, didn't he? What about, you think about Caleb. He's 85 and he says, give me the giants. You know, that's amazing. You guys ran from them 45 years ago. I'm running toward them. Let me have them. And so I think it's interesting. So besides the discoveries, what about the different focus? Look over in Hebrews. When you're on a heavenly frequency, you'll have a different focus. They were under a lot of persecution, the believers in the book of Hebrews. And notice what it says in verse 32 of chapter 10. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured great conflicts of suffering, partly by being made a public spectacle through the reproaches and tribulation. How'd you like to have the public humiliation? We get a lot of that humiliation today when people know you're a believer. Notice also, partly because of becoming sharers with those who are so treated, you showed sympathy to prisoners, accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. How did us do that? You know, somebody comes and takes what you've worked hard for. I'm sure. How many of us? Notice, I think the reason. Notice what I said here: the different focus. Knowing you have yourselves a better possession and abiding one. They're living for the line and not the God. Okay, you can take the stuff, but I have something better in eternity. It's interesting, but notice what problem that they have. They've done so well. We saw this on Wednesday night. But 32, therefore, don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. They've been doing so well, but all of a sudden, you notice they are starting to think about giving in. Notice 32 then, you have need of endurance. And then 39, don't shrink back. So often we can do well for a while, and then things are just bad, they're bad, they're bad. We just do it. Forget it. I'm giving in. I'm giving in just before, I think, so often, you've often heard it, it's darkest just before dawn. think it's interesting too. I think so often when people are in any type of race, it's what's called hitting the wall. You have to go through it in order to finish. I think it's interesting, different focus. Look about in chapter 11. You saw that with the Hebrews that were believers at the time. You go back earlier in history and notice in verse 24, 27. You think about Moses. He grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What kind of life would he have had had he stayed? Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than enjoying the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, also seeing him who's unseen. His eyes were on the Lord, but notice he chose eternity. And I don't know about you, but I would not choose to lead a man or two people, grumbling people. How many of you like to do that? I mean, then you think about it. And every day, manna is provided. How many of you think about tomorrow? By the way, we use the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our
bread.
How many of us really want that? If it's just today, where's your bread coming from tomorrow? Most of us want what? We want a 401k that takes us to the end of our life and there's no worries. Then I don't have to worry about it. A heavenly frequency is totally different when you think about it. Look over in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, notice we'll start in verse 31. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we clothe ourselves? Some of us are asking those questions all the time. And things are getting that way right now with our economy, the way it's going, and everything else. Notice, for all these things the Gentiles or non-believers equally seek, for your Father, Heavenly Father, knows you need all these things. Heavenly frequency. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of itself. You agree with that? I think it's interesting you have a different focus. Don't worry about tomorrow. Do the birds worry about tomorrow? No. So I think it's important for the different focus. What about directions? If we have a heavenly focus, in John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus said, my will and my work is to do the will of my Father. If we want directions, we have the same. What's the will and the work of what God has given us to do? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, be ambassadors, use your gifts, all those things. If we're on the heavenly frequency, what happens is God wants us to do something with our gifts, and what do? We don't do it for whatever reason. We do have some dangerous foes, obviously, in 1 John, let's turn around, let's give it to you. Remember, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. People will be doing well on the heavenly frequency, but then they'll run there like Demas. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, and he forsook the ministry. You have the same thing in Hebrews 2. They started to drift. Hebrews 6, they become dull of hearing. You know any Christians who are dull of hearing? Spiritually speaking, don't get me wrong. A lot of us are dull of hearing. But you think about it. You can get along. Or how many left the first love, like in Revelation chapter 2 with the church at Ephesus? Started off so well, and they left. So we have this heavenly frequency. I think it's interesting. Am I listening to what he wants me to do? It will be a walk of faith at times. But he'll never ask us to do something without empowering us. Second one, if you are a disciple comes along and walks around with you for a week or two, Are they going to see which frequency you're on? Is it the heavenly frequency or is it the earthly frequency? And I think it's important for us to think about it. What would you like to be on? Am I focusing on the line or on the dot? So think about today and this week is just what frequency am I on? At the refinery, they worked in my truck a few years ago. I had AM and FM. Whatever they did, I don't know. I only have AM now. I can't get it. Is there radio waves going through this room right now? Why don't we hear it? Do you think there's heavenly frequency and things going on where there's two or three and I'm in your midst? How many of us are listening?
We'd love for you to come and visit with us and fellowship with us. We're located at 8263 North Owosso Expressway, which is on the east side of Highway 169 North, between 76th and 86th Street North. We have coffee and fellowship from 8:30 to 9 Sundays, followed by Sunday school for all ages from 9 to 9:45, and our Sunday morning worship service is from 10 to 11. We likewise have a Wednesday night service for all ages from 7 to 8. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, and in every way the Lord be with you all the time.